Welcome to CADcast. I'm your host, Nick Sweeney, and the topic that I want to talk about this week is something that I have been thinking about for quite a while now, and it is the necessity of drawings, at least drawings as we currently know them. And I know what you're thinking, well, of course we need drawings. How could you possibly say that we don't? But what I'm saying is not like, hey, we need to have a world where we're just kind of like in each other's minds, knowing what everybody's thinking. No. I think that drawings as we know them, like SLDDRWs and PDFs, aren't necessarily necessary. So I brought in a couple of my team members, and we're going to talk about exactly that. So maybe you can form your own opinions on if I'm right or if I'm wrong. We'll see what you think. All right, so today what we want to talk about is drawings, and specifically, I want to attack a topic that I've been thinking about for quite a while, and I know it's a semi-controversial one, but I want to talk about, do we need drawings in the first place? I think that the answer is kind of no, but I don't just want to sit here and talk about this by myself, so I brought in Jay Pinheiro and Brian Pollock from the CATI AE team to kind of talk with me about this and get their perspective, because they've been doing this for a lot longer than I have, and just kind of see what they think. So, Jay and Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
So I always ask the first question to everybody because I want to get a feel for like how long have you been using SOLIDWORKS. So Jay, I'll start with you. What was your first version of SOLIDWORKS?
2001 plus.
And okay.
I was working as an engineer, doing actual design work. I got recruited by the local reseller and ended up with a 2001 plus on my personal machine so I could learn before I got to the job.
Nice. Who was the local reseller? Was that I'm just curious.
R&D Technologies.
Okay.
Yep. Rolled up into Fisher Unitech, rolled up into CATI. So
now we're all on the same team.
Yep.
Brian, what about you?
I began in 2001 plus as well, in college, and then migrated my way to 2004 and did a bunch of consulting in the 2004 version, and then came on to CATI in 2006.
And Brian, I know that part of your background with like your consulting was like you've actually worked on the floor before of different businesses and had drawings in front of you where you had to work off of them, which is part of why I wanted to have you on the podcast to really talk about this, because you've got that experience of being out there and now you're in this reseller world. So you've kind of got both sides of it.
Absolutely. I was in manufacturing for 3 years. Before I came to CATI, and mixed in there, I did consulting projects in the medical industry as well. So
I think as we kind of start addressing this topic of do we need drawings in the first place, and I know that my opinion is no, I don't think we truly need them anymore. But I kind of want to talk about what are some of these reasons why we do need drawings. What drives that need to have them, at least the opinions of some people, as well as some alternatives. Like, what can we do instead of having physical paper drawings? What kinds of tools are out there? I know that we've got MBD, I know we've got e-drawings, but like, what can we do? How can we address that? But then some of those main hurdles. I want to jump into why do we think that this is taking as long as it is? Like, we've been in a digital world. I've grown up in 3D. Like, I didn't start using SOLIDWORKS till 2015 EDU. But I used Cosmic Blobs as a kid after I saw it at SOLIDWORKS World in San Diego, I think it was. So like, I've been around 3D my whole life. So what are some of these hurdles preventing people from having this opinion and saying, let's jump in fully to a drawingless world? And I'll talk about kind of why do we want to go that way. So my first question for you two, in the context of this at least, do we need drawings? And Jay, I'll start with you just broadly. Like, do you think that we need them?
I'd love to say no. I have been in 3D modeling my entire career from college on up. I never worked on the board, but I came out of college with a lot of people who were still in 2D AutoCAD and maybe had spent some time on a board with a pencil. And that was the culture. The 2D drawing was everything. But with everything that can be buried into a 3D model nowadays, Any documentation we need is it's in there. It's just a matter of educating people on how to extract it, I think, which is a vastly different methodology for getting information out of a model versus a simple PDF or a piece of paper.
Yeah, I personally think that, like, a PDF, I think about a drawing as the 3-view one that they taught me at Ohio State, where it's like, okay, here's my front, left, and top view, and then here's my isometric. And I think, how can I possibly get all of the measurements that I want out of this? Isn't it so much more powerful to just spin this around and interrogate it using the measure tool and really evaluate it using the tools that I have available to me inside of eDrawings, inside of SOLIDWORKS, or whatever CAD viewer I have? But Brian, I want to ask you the same question, because you've been on the floor in this case. So what are your opinions? Do we need drawings? Or can we maybe get to a world where maybe at least one day we don't have them anymore?
I think that's a big, big hurdle. I think we'd love to see it.
Oh, for sure.
But there is a lot of diverse backgrounds out there. There's a lot of shop floor guys that are not computer literate, which is a huge hurdle. There are a lot of manufacturing companies that would have a huge, huge investment to get hardware out by all the machines. So, I mean, it extends into even people outside of engineering. We think in 3D. We understand 3D. We think in 3D, or many of us do. Mm-hmm. It's surprising how many people draw in 2D but can't visualize 3D.
Definitely right.
There is a lot of that, and you see it in the classroom. So that's a challenge that is there. General office, purchasing, they don't touch 3D. They won't touch it. And they pull up a print, they order off a print. You got a lot of areas where it gets into even beyond that. You get into everything all the way down to lawyers and courts that get into court cases around products. And they would have to know how to use an eDrawings program and manipulate it. I mean, so the outreaches of who actually touches a drawing are vast. I mean, there's a lot more people than I think we even realize.
I mean, I definitely hadn't thought about all of those different groups outside of just engineering, because I guess I kind of think about drawings as, this is what my engineering guys need, this is what the shop floor guys need. I muted myself so it wouldn't interrupt you, but I kind of chuckled at the idea of, you know, what if sales didn't be touching these drawings? And I think about all of those CAD admins that I talked to that are like, nope, they don't need SOLIDWORKS. They don't need access to PDM. We're not going to let them see it. But the reality is some of them are going to, and that's just kind of how that always works. Jay, do you think that that's a hurdle that we can overcome?
I think
so. With these different tools that we have available to us, because, you know, we've kind of been talking about what can we do besides drawings. We talked offline about that, but do you think we have alternatives that can help us overcome that?
I would absolutely think so. It is such a better methodology for visualization that the slight education it takes. You know, I've made this argument before for years. You know, a PDF is not an engineering doc. It, you know, you're installing a third-party application to view an exported model, exported data from the CAD system, rather. So viewing or installing eDrawings and viewing native information from the CAD package is a cleaner transition. It's just a culture and a very slight education on where it is and how to get it.
I do think that the education point is going to be a really big part of this. And I also think that, Jay, you've mentioned culture a couple of times. I think that might actually be the biggest thing, is this culture shift. Because if I had Joe Frank on this podcast, and he's been on before, Joe would have exploded by this point because he loves to say pencils to PDN. That's what he came from. He was on the drawing, on the drafting board. My desk as a little kid growing up was my dad's old drafting table, or it was a really large table. I think it was his drafting table. Like, that's what I had, and that's what he came up with, and that's what Joe came up with. So I do think it's a culture shift because, you know, attending Ohio State in the 20 teens, I think that's how I would say that. Like, we all think in 3D. Brian, you said, you know, it's kind of in the classroom. We see a lot of people, like, that's just how a lot of engineers work. We visualize stuff in 3D, we model in 3D, and then we have it in 3D. And I do think that there's a little bit of that shift because I never grew up using AutoCAD. I have touched DraftSight, and I've used a little bit of Inventor. But I don't do 2D. I struggle very hard to draw a box that looks 3D in 2D. I can't do it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would I put something in 2D when it's really in 3D? So I do think culture shift is going to be, I don't know, maybe the biggest part of this is getting people on board.
I think it started when I first started teaching drawings 20 years ago. There were a lot of engineering managers who expected me to teach engineers how to draw, not how to draw in SolidWorks, but the mechanics of making a good drawing. And, you know, we have got some customers locally where I am, you know, you walk in and that's a 100-year-old company and you look at the old drawings and you're like, that's a piece of art. I've seen that change already, where they're not really worried about making the drawings as pretty as they used to be or exact as they used to be. You know, they're very caught up on positions of dimensions and looks. And I've seen that kind of go away, which I think is a step into decreasing the person's pride in their drawing. That's the wrong term for it, but their attachment to this drawing. Hopefully that'll continue on where the drawing is really... the next step, I think, would be the drawing would just be an inspection document, like it is for some of the injection molded plastics, where you just can't dimension everything. You only put inspection dimensions on. And then I think the next step is just let's get rid of them all together.
Brian, what do you think about the culture? Do you think that that plays such a big role in this? Or do you think that it might actually be more of like just a limitation of, you know, there's these different people and there's this education bit. Do you think that that might actually be a bigger hurdle to overcome? Or do you think that the culture shift, maybe that could be the driving force here?
Well, I think there is a culture shift. I think there is the generation change as the older population of the engineering field retires out. And we already see it where, you know, the managers are guys in their 30s. I mean, they're just much younger. And they are CAD savvy, where a lot of older engineers were specialized. They had draftsmen that did the CAD work. Mm-hmm. That's a culture that's changed. You don't find the straight up draftsman where you just hand off the project to somebody. The engineers, you know, design it and they draft it and they do it all. I think there will be a change. I just think it's not going to be fast.
Brian, you mentioned as we were kind of preparing for this, that one of the driving factors that you kind of expect is if you've got, mandates from your company. So if you're like, I think you said, if you're a tier one supplier and Ford says, we're not using drawings, you give us the 3D model. Well, guess what? You're done using drawings. You're going to provide the 3D model. Do you think that it's going to take something kind of in the vein of that kind of push to get us there?
I think those are huge factors, automotive, aerospace that have those huge supply chains, military that has that kind of power. You know, little mom and pop shops aren't going to be able to force it on other companies. But somebody like Ford or GM, they do. They make those mandates. They say that this is what has to be provided. And if you're going to be a supplier to them, you're going to need it. So those kind of companies are absolutely going to be the driving forces in this kind of stuff. to make those kind of huge dramatic changes.
And I think that there's a lot of good reasons for it, and we could dive into a lot of these, and there are a few that I kind of want to talk about for, like, why does it make sense to not use drawings, besides just from the practical standpoint of why do I want to take something that's in 3D and then put it in 2D so then I can make it in 3D? I see that as a very roundabout way to get back to the exact same place we started. But there are some very practical reasons why we should go with this. And one thing I want to note is I think we've got a customer that is pretty much drawingless. And I'm going to be trying to get them on the podcast here at some point very soon to actually talk with them about that whole process and talk about, you know, what did they do? What kind of hurdles did they encounter and how did they get here? And if they're happy with the transition. But just from a practicality standpoint, I think one thing that you guys both mentioned is outdated machinery is a really good reason to look at going to a drawingless world. Because, Brian, I think you said you've talked to people that have like Windows XP on their floor, and that's where they're opening up these drawings. And I kind of died inside a little bit because Windows XP was like the operating system that my dad had on a computer in the office that I would like play on MS Paint on as a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge investments. It's often that machines are handed down. We all know engineers like to get the newest machines, and often their machines get recycled possibly into the office environment or sales environments. And then the sales machines get passed down, and anything that's still functionable by that time gets repurposed a lot of times to the shop floor. Obviously, to get the most life out of any kind of hardware investment companies make. To go in, you know, it all depends on the size shop you have. I was in a shop that had 30 screw machine, multi-spindle screw machines. So if you're talking about a computer next to each one of those to be able to view documents,
it's a big investment.
That's a significant investment, and that was just one department. If you go into, then you got vertical and horizontal CNCs, you probably had another 15 or 20 of those. You start adding up some significant investments that you have to keep up with. And we know that, especially in the days of Microsoft, and they're going to push out the old software, and we're all forced to update.
We love our Windows updates, don't we?
We do. So those kind of investments are, and then the wear and tear in a shop environment. It's with the oils and different conditions in there. Those machines, that hardware takes a beating. So even life expectancy on some of that hardware is not as good, or they have to go into a high grade industrial housings and stuff to support it.
That can get expensive.
And then all those shops, and those shops are not always necessarily set up to have all the extra power it's going to need next to all the machines.
True, yeah.
So there's...
Well, the flip side to that,
starts to ripple down, and there's just a lot of things, yeah.
The flip side to that, there's the manufacturing and the fabrication of the parts, which is where you are. And then the assembly floor instead of the fabrication or instead of the machining floor.
Sure.
It's the numbers you quote are going to be similar, where, if you're doing assembly work off of 3D, you do need a simple machine at each station. Nowadays, I think a simple large screen tablet for, viewing and spinning around, reading some assembly instructions would be okay. And there's still a cost there. I don't think you have to worry so much about power. You'd have to worry about
Jay,
price.
Part of the reason we're talking about this is like the 3D experience platform and the move that we're seeing in the DSO world of incorporating that more. I mean, having it on a tablet, that's part of the whole reason you would go with the platform in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the power of the tablets has definitely, we all know, has grown tenfold. The power of our cell phones has grown.
I used my cell phone on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I swear the photos were taken by a professional photographer. It's like, I am not that, but It's pretty cool.
I mean, as crazy as it sounds, we can't even, with the platform, we can even do the CAD work on our phone.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I recommend that, but
yeah, that different podcast, different episode. But I think being able to just like, it's not as big of an investment as it used to be. Like, we don't have to get full power CAD workstations. We could get people, I mean, with a 3D experience platform, you could get a Chromebook and you can open stuff up in 3D Play and spin it around. Maybe a Chromebook's a terrible example here, but you don't have to get these big, powerful, bulky workstations that are going to be $2,000 a piece. Instead, you're looking at, you know, a couple $100. You can get a nice tablet and that's all you need. And then they just kind of mount it. Like, the last time I went on a customer visit, we got a tour of the shop floor and we were walking around and there were computers or tablets at every single desk. So I think some companies are definitely better equipped to do this than others. Brian, you said like mom and pop shops, they're not going to be able to necessarily push this out to people as easily. And I would agree with that. But you're going to get bigger companies. Like, you're going to tell me like a P&G couldn't do this if they had that as if they wanted to. I mean, they could certainly do whatever they want.
The mom and pop shops, though, if you have the right leader, don't have as big of a culture shift. It's a smaller shop. The owner is not five levels up from the machine shop floor. You know, you've got a smaller investment. Even though for a mom and pop, it might be significant, but it's less of a culture change and it could actually work. At some point, and this is I probably should have looked into this before I started recording, but at some point those machines have to talk to computers anyway, and I'm not sure if you're going to a machine and pulling it down or if you're going to a CAD station somewhere and pushing CAM programs over, but at some point those machines have to talk to the network anyway.
Yeah, I think the only example you wouldn't need that is if like you're on a lathe or something and then you're just manually doing all of the cutting, but I mean, that's
there is an art to that, and I have a lot of appreciation for people who do that, but in the paperless environment, I think the those types of people are going to be the one who fight it the most, because they just want a piece of paper and some numbers versus here's a model. Here's a model-based CAM package. Let's CAM off the 3D model and just, you know, send it on over to the machine. You know?
And I'm talking with Don Glaske and Joe Blubaugh here pretty soon about a CAM podcast. We're going to really talk about what can you do to get started with SOLIDWORKS CAM and CAMWORKS. And, you know, more and more things are controlled in our world by robots. Like, there's a commercial I've seen 1,000 times recently. It's like, we don't need more robot tests. But yet robots are becoming more and more prevalent. They're doing so much of our automation. We use 3D printers now. Like, 30 years ago, who's thinking, hey, I can print something in 3 dimensions? Like, that's not an option. But now it is. And now it's something that I can design. I could design a new phone case, 3D print it, and have it by tomorrow if I wanted to. It's easy to do. And that's not something 10 years ago I could have really done all that easily, at least. I could have, but it would have been a hassle. So I mean, just a technology shift recently, I do think that's kind of a driving factor in this whole thing.
The material science on your 3D printers has grown by leaps and bounds too, so you can get much more production-ready type quality parts.
You can print stuff in metal. just insane. That's my favorite thing that we have as CATI. The fact that desktop metal is something that we sell to people is just like, I can't believe that's real. I love it, but I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to kind of wrap us up here, I want to talk about how long do we think this is going to take? I've had a lot of conversations with my dad about all this, just because I like to discuss this because he thinks we need drawings. I don't think we do, as I've made abundantly clear. I personally think that sometime in the next like 10 years, we're going to see something more like this, because I think that in the next 10 years, we're going to see a lot of movement to the cloud. I've seen a lot of that in the last year and a half, especially with people working from home. I've seen a lot of people wanting to work in the cloud, which means now we're sharing our data virtually to a lot of people, which means there's less of a need for things just like normal PDFs. And I think that the more comfortable we get with cloud-based systems and sharing things that way, I think the more comfortable we're going to be without drawings. And I think the more likely we're going to be there. But do we think that this is a 10-year project? Do we think that this is a 50-year project? Or do we think that there's no way of having any idea and it's just going to be something radical is going to happen all of a sudden overnight, we'll be in a drawingless world? Discuss, I suppose.
I would love to think it's 5 years. And there's going to be bifurcated. There's going to be two groups. There's going to be, you know, I live in the Boston area. Boston is startup central. So you got a lot of young companies that don't have 50, 70 years of history. They don't want to do drawings. So I think you're going to get kind of a split where some of the older companies, larger companies, where it is that big culture change that they might retain drawings for a long time. But I'd like to think that within 5 years, we could have a lot of the startup companies, new companies off drawings.
I do think it's hard to say that at some point everybody will be this way, because we still have companies that we talk to that are on Workgroup 2017 Vault.
I talked to one today.
Yeah. And we talk about that in our solutions team group chat about, you know, what this is going to be the last one. This will be the last one. And it's never the last one. There are people still running that. So, I mean, it's never going to just be overnight. Okay, we're done with drawings, because there's going to be people hanging on to that until 2100, for all I know. But
yeah. Oh, there's still companies that have rooms full of blueprints because they're not going to convert those.
Yeah.
You know, and what do you do with all the legacy drawings here? I mean, they're not going to convert those to electronic format. It's going to be around for a long time. So the new stuff, yes, new companies. I think some of these startups, I there'll be a split. I think there'll be some that will go that way. But I see it being at least 10 years. I think there'll be movements. I think there'll be advancements in our tools and our capabilities, which will make it more compelling. But I think as an industry in whole, it'll take longer.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
No, I Brian and I have different, well, maybe mine is more of a hope than an opinion. I have a hope that it will be faster. But
I think we'll see a shift in the next 5 years, but I do think it's gonna take a long time to get our bigger companies in the world to do it. And I think that until someone like Ford, until we get a Ford or a GM or these big giant companies that use so many different suppliers, I think until they make that shift, I think that that's going to make us kind of hold on to drawings a little bit longer than maybe we would like. But I think that some people, that's just what they're comfortable with. But I do think that we're going to see a shift as we get more of this generation, more of the generation that grew up with computers like me. I think that that's going to drive this, and we'll kind of see what happens. But I think that there's definitely an argument to be made that we don't need them. I think there is an argument to be made that, yes, we still do. And I think that the technology is going to probably be what's the ultimate driver of this whole thing. Not just us humans, not just what we want, but what can we do with computers? Just 10 years ago, I didn't think that I would be hosting a podcast and being able to see you guys we're in three different states, being able to actually see you and talk and have it all transcribed in our little Teams chat. That's pretty darn cool. So lots of things are changing in this world. And Brian, Jay, I'm really excited to see what happens with drawings. So thank you so much for jumping on and talking to me about this. Like I said, I'm going to be trying to get one of our customers on to talk about their journey through this and see what they overcame, and probably just kind of relate it to what we talked about today and see their opinions. But thank you guys so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Nick.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.